Another day, another crypto hack. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. It's not just the roller coaster valuations that make crypto risky, it's also the security issues. Last week saw multiple major crypto hacks, one affecting wallets mostly linked to Solana coins, another hitting Nomad, a blockchain bridge where users exchange assets on different blockchains. The losses totaled about $200 million, and these are just the latest hacks. So far this year, there's been more than $1 billion stolen. So why is this industry such a target? Josephine Wolf is an associate professor of cybersecurity policy at the Fletcher School at Tufts University.
So one of the things you worry about a lot with cryptocurrencies is there are a whole bunch of intermediary organizations and companies involved, and each one is building software that can potentially be breached. So you've got different organizations coming up with the blockchain ledgers that record these individual transactions, but you've also got companies building the wallets that hold people's digital assets. And then you've got cryptocurrency exchanges. So each of these different kind of layers of software in the cryptocurrency ecosystem creates an opportunity for breaching something and stealing money.
When we look at some of the big hacks that are known, do they have, you know, factors in common?
So if we look at the sort of big money laundering breaches around cryptocurrency, often there's a common thread of a cryptocurrency exchange that has failed to protect the credentials of its users effectively. So people are able to steal not just one or two passwords, but all of the passwords from a database. Or somebody has implemented the cryptocurrency wallets insecurely in a way that it's possible for somebody to kind of get in there and transfer funds out of those wallets without even needing the passwords and credentials that users would traditionally use. So I would say those are definitely two weak points, are the wallets and the exchanges.
Why do you think we've seen cyber criminals seeming to target wallets and exchanges?
I think sort of two related reasons. One is that there's a lot of money in this ecosystem. And the other is that there's this almost total lack of regulation around most of these intermediaries. So you've got wallet providers, you've got cryptocurrency exchanges, you've got all of these folks who are sort of effectively playing the role of a bank, or at least part of what we traditionally rely on banks for, but without all of the oversight and regulation.
So what can companies in this ecosystem do to better protect themselves against these hacks?
The big part of this that we've sort of figured out to a large extent for traditional banks and financial companies has to do with record keeping, things like know your customer laws, anti-money laundering regulations, where if somebody comes in and says, I want to open up a cryptocurrency account or wallet and transfer money into and out of it, then institutions can say, okay, we need some information about you. We need to see your ID. We need to keep records of certain large transactions or transactions in and out of the country, stuff like that. It doesn't prevent theft, but it does enable some kinds of policing and law enforcement after the fact to go back and say, okay, if we're trying to trace what happened here, do we have some records that enable that? On the sort of blockchain and wallet side, a lot of this is actually about testing software security, about trying to understand, okay, the way I have written code to say, this is Megan's wallet, this is Josephine's wallet, have I left any bugs in that code that are going to allow somebody to get in there and change who those cryptocurrency tokens are assigned to within this sort of software program that we've written? And that's really sort of traditional testing of software, hiring people to try to hack it, seeing if they can find any vulnerabilities, taking your time with the development process, which I think is also often a big challenge in these cryptocurrency settings where things are moving really fast and people are always sort of trying to get ahead of the next thing.
Is there anything individuals, consumers can do?
That's pretty tricky. When we look at most of these hacks, it's really not about whether individuals were using good passwords or practicing good security hygiene. It's really sort of about whether or not the institutions that they trusted were doing a good job of securing their cryptocurrency wallets.
What does the current landscape look like for protections and government oversight? And how does it vary from country to country?
there are some regulations, certainly in the United States, that apply to cryptocurrency exchanges. They're required to comply with most traditional know your customer and anti-money laundering regulations. However, different states have taken different approaches. So famously, New York State announced that they were going to require BIT licenses, and a whole bunch of other places have sort of tried to implement their own kinds of regulatory oversight to make sure that there's less opportunity for cybercrime passing through these types of cryptocurrency exchanges. In other countries, we've seen very different approaches. China has taken an approach of basically cryptocurrency is illegal. We don't want anybody buying or selling it in our country. Russia has taken an approach of essentially we're not going to monitor anything that's done in cryptocurrency exchanges, but we do want people paying tax on cryptocurrency income. And so there's a sort of taxation framework that they've been trying to develop for the past few years. And what this means is that you have sort of a very easy way to move money between countries and find the country where there will be the least concern about what you're doing with your cryptocurrency that has been very beneficial to many cyber criminals.
Could more government oversight and regulation of the industry address some of these problems?
I think it could. The challenge here is even if the United States could sort of get its act together and figure out how it wants to regulate cryptocurrencies, whether it wants restrictions, they would still have this big problem that, say, most of the big ransomware rings are based out of Russia and Eastern Europe. And that's not a problem that any individual country can really solve by itself, where there are so many different exchanges.
That was Josephine Wolf, Associate Professor of Cybersecurity Policy at Tufts University. And now for some related links. You can find more details on the recent crypto hacks at our website, marketplacetech.org. The Verge reports that one of the crypto systems targeted, Solana, says its own investigation showed no evidence its protocol was breached and that only one type of user wallet was compromised. Another hacking target, Nomad, offered a bounty for the stolen tokens, according to Bloomberg News. The company said anyone willing to return 90% of the hacked funds will not be prosecuted and can keep the remaining 10% as a reward. We'll also link to a feature we aired here on the show last month about state-sponsored crypto hackers in North Korea, and an article Josephine Wolf wrote for Slate earlier this year about probably the most famous alleged crypto hackers, a New York couple charged with laundering $4.5 billion worth of crypto. It's a colorful story. When she writes, feels like a far-fetched movie plot. Aside from the astronomical sums involved, the accused had styled themselves as sort of quasi-crypto celebrities, sharing advice and amateur rap videos on social media. We had to link to one of those. It's not exactly safe for work. Think dance moves and language appropriate to the form. And it's something else, let me tell you. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.